But I just wanted to get that said. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this last week, on Thursday, the 14th, it was Flag Day. Flag Day commemorates the adoption of the flag of the United States, which happened on June 14th by a resolution of the Second Continental Congress in 1777. Now, in 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation that officially established June 14th as Flag Day. And then in August of 1949, National Flag Day was established by an act of Congress. So, why all of this talk of our national symbol, our national emblem on this Sunday morning? Well, because it is our national symbol. We find meaning in the flag. It gives us a sense of identity, of pride, and under its banner, we all find, in some form or fashion, shelter. We find shelter. We find a kind of safety in the flag and what it means for us. Our identity as a people in this country is bound up in the blood and sweat and tears shed by our forefathers over the more than 200 years that this symbol has waved. Again, like I said earlier, on this Father's Day, we do well to remember the fathers of our nation. They devoted themselves to our nation's inception, well-being, and the forming of the framework in which it was to grow. May their memory inspire all fathers to also be so devoted to their offspring. But to us, the flag represents a place of, like I said before, a place of shelter. All who see it know it stands for a place of strength and safety and the rule of law. Now, yes, we all know there are those who disrespect it. But even they acknowledge that it is our national symbol and that it does carry great power, such as it is. We're a huge nation with a huge variety of people, and all of them, together as one, look to the flag and recognize it as the symbol of who we are. We know that we're connected together by that symbol to everyone else in the land. Now, there is a lesson for us in this that's made clear in our scripture readings from today. Looking first at the Old Testament lesson. There we're told this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of the cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. God says that he alone will take a shoot from the topmost branch of the cedar and plant it on the mountain heights of Israel. And in that tree, in the tree that he plants there, it will bear fruit and again provide shelter for every kind of bird. And that's why I spoke about the flag being the symbol of our country, which provides shelter for all kinds of people. Now, that tree that God plants on the mountain heights of Israel is the tree of life. It is the cross of Christ. It's true that birds find shelter in trees, and it's also true that we find shelter in that tree of life, the cross of Jesus, planted high on the mountains of Israel, just as God promised. Now, if you go to Washington, D.C., see the Marine Corps Memorial. It's the raising of the flag on Suribachi. That was a powerful moment. And it's forever remembered in that memorial. It's powerful because the flag was placed atop that mountain on Iwo Jima to show claim to that place. That flag gave the troops encouragement and certainty in their sacrifice that what was needed to be done was done. Now, think now about the tree of the cross of Jesus high on Calvary's hill and how that parallels the lesson of Suribachi. Consider how much greater and how everlasting is the sign of the tree of Calvary. On that cross we see Jesus' sacrifice for our victory over guilt, Jesus' blood shed for our redemption, and Jesus' death for the atonement of the sin of the whole world, for all time, for all people. The picture of the tree that God plants in the Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel, that also points out what St. Paul says in the epistle lesson today, that our ultimate shelter is the shelter God has made for us. He says in verse 1 from 2 Corinthians 5, read it with me, please. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Our true home is not here on earth, but it is in the dwelling place of God in heaven. It is eternal. It is not built by human hands. And it is what God alone provides. It's secure. It will never fade away. Our way there is only through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His resurrection is our guarantee of passage to our eternal dwelling place in God's heaven. It is where we, as St. Paul says, where we groan in longing to be. Now, one of the most popular TV shows a few decades back was the sitcom Cheers. What made Cheers so popular? Well, it's because people are always yearning for a place. What? Where everyone knows your name. Where everybody knows your name. Many people today don't even know their own neighbors' names anymore. Cheers offered the nation a slice of that wonderful small town spirit that has somehow disappeared from our hurry up, don't ask questions, anonymous lifestyles. I don't know if I should be upset that you guys know that phrase. No, I'm just kidding. Intimacy and love and trust, a sense of belonging, a feeling of community. These are the things that people crave. We all crave. Now, Jesus experienced the longings and loneliness that reside inside every human heart. And Jesus has done all that is needed to banish that emptiness forever. That's how St. Paul can say in verses 6 through 8, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident. Our confidence is in knowing that indeed God knows our name. Our faith is built on that gift of God to us. In our baptism, we are named, and we are also given the name of Christian. And we bear that on our bodies all the days of our life. That's why we make the sign of the cross when we speak of the Trinity. Because we are marked each of us, we are marked as belonging to God. The three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's what we spoke about on Trinity Sunday a few weeks back. Now, more than the gang at Cheers, God knows our name and gives a place of shelter to all and everyone who trust in Him and have the confidence in Christ that St. Paul speaks of. Our confidence is in what Jesus has done for us. Not in ourselves. It's on what He's done for us on the cross. And in fact, the cross has provided for us the entrance into heaven. Only there in heaven is where, as we said, our true shelter lies. Now, Jesus, speaking of heaven today in the gospel lesson, said this: "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." Now, those words of Jesus take us right back into the words of Ezekiel today. The church, the kingdom of God, is the shelter for every and all kinds of people. There is none that will be left out of heaven, none, except those who choose to be, those who choose to deny Jesus Christ as the Lord. What a tragic thing that truly is. Think about for a moment who won't be there that you know. Will you be there? Will I be there? What is our mission here?
Hearing,
sharing, and living. The what? The what? The gospel. The gospel. And that means more than just nice sounding words. That is our mission. Sharing the gospel. It's our reason to be here. We're not here so that we can feel good about ourselves when we go out the door. We're here to be equipped. We're here to be trained. We're here to be made ready. Sharing Christ is a real and needed thing for other birds who, like us, need a shelter and need a home. Some years ago, I've told this before, some of you know, I took Matthew to Washington, D.C., and I got to give the opening prayer in the House of Congress. And in that prayer, I spoke about the Statue of Liberty and how she represents hope and shelter, just like the cross of Christ does. I quoted Emma Lazarus's poem that speaks of the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Our national flag is something we respect, honor, and revere for what it represents for us. It, the flag, speaks of the freedom that Miss Lazarus's poem reminds us of the yearning for a free place. That yearning for a place to breathe free. That's what we, sinners, redeemed by grace alone, that's what we share with all people, bound as we are under the oppression of sin's crushing yoke. All people know what it is to have our sins suffocating us with truly well-deserved guilt and shame. We have no redemption or merit that gives us protection in and of ourselves, do we? Not one. Our only place of safety is what comes to us in the righteousness from the cross of Christ alone, by gift, by God's free gift. That tree is the tree of life for all people. repenting of self-righteousness, repenting of being secure in sin. Repentance is how we live under that cross. Setting your trust in the work of Christ is for you right now. Right now. In godly repentance, God grants us mercy and grace and redemption and peace and shelter. As we speak the words of the Creed in a few moments, let those words speak aloud your trust in the cross of our Redeemer. That cross is where our true, lasting, and eternal shelter is. That is God's promise to us today and every day. In that cross, in that tree of life, which He has planted high on the mountain of Israel, is where we are given shelter and hope and security. And it's given to us in the name and the work of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.